I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And this is All Things Sensory by Harkla.
We are both certified occupational therapy assistants, and together with Harkla, we are on a mission to empower parents, therapists, and educators to help raise confident and strong children of all abilities.
On this podcast, we chat about all things sensory, diving into special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, overall health and wellness, and so much more.
We are here to provide raw, honest, and fun strategies, ideas, and information for parents, therapists, and educators, as well as other professionals to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello there. Welcome. Welcome to another episode, your favorite podcast. This is All Things Sensory by Harkla. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And we have a couple of questions to start this episode with.
First one, is your child clumsy? More clumsy than we would consider normal or typical.
Does your child have poor balance resulting in falling or tripping or inability to complete simple balance activities?
Or do they seem to struggle with simple motor tasks like skipping, for example?
Mm-hmm. So really quick, before we tell you why we asked those questions, we want to let you know that we have a podcast episode on sensory processing disorder. It is the myths about SPD, and it is episode 181, as well as we have an episode on one of the subtypes of SPD, sensory modulation disorder, episode 123.
We also have a one-hour training where we dive into sensory processing disorder and discuss what it is, and we share some simple strategies to help you if your child does have SPD, and we will link that in the show notes for you to check out.
Now, so why did we ask those three questions in the very beginning?
We have a topic today that is a little bit more, I don't want to say scientific because it's all scientific. What's the word that I'm thinking of?
It's more detailed.
I don't know what the right word is. I'm thinking of a word, but it's a little
more. The right word is whatever you want it to be.
Yes. It's not as... All right, I can't think of the word that I'm thinking of, but the topic that we're going to talk about today is one of the subtypes of sensory processing disorder, and it's called sensory-based motor disorder. Technical! It's technical!
That's the word you're looking for?
Yes, okay, I got it. I'm good.
Okay.
The topic, the podcast today is a little more technical because we're talking about sensory-based motor disorder.
Yes, and
I'm so happy right
I'm now. So glad you figured it out. If you answered yes to one or all three of those questions that we asked in the very beginning, then your child could potentially have sensory-based modulation disorder.
Now, the reason why we asked those questions at the beginning is, you know, when we were coming up with this podcast episode, we were trying to figure out how to best word it so it makes the most sense. And my thought was, if we have a parent listening who is thinking, like, there's something off with my child, they're struggling with X, Y, and Z, I don't know what it is. Our goal here with this episode is to maybe clue you into this subtype of SPD and to help you dig a little deeper and find some more information on this sensory-based motor disorder, which is part of sensory processing disorder.
What exactly is sensory-based motor disorder?
Okay. So we found this definition from the STAR Institute, which we love. We'll link everything in the show notes, as you know. But sensory-based motor disorder is difficulty with balance, motor coordination, and the performance of skilled non-habitual and or habitual motor tasks.
Let's be a little more specific. This is going to be a child who falls frequently while walking, or they trip very, very easily.
Mm-hmm. This could be a child who maybe bumps into objects within their environment. They seem very clumsy.
This could be a child who is sitting at their desk at school and they just fall out of their chair.
Maybe they can't perform simple balance activities such as balancing on one leg while putting on their pants.
They struggle to play sports and coordinate their body for completing those sporting activities.
Maybe they're the ones who just avoid ball games because they're too difficult.
This is a child who cannot plan and execute gross motor activities. This includes animal walks or jumping rope
I always think of skipping.
and
That's
skipping.
always my, like, when a child is really struggling to learn to skip, I'm like, oh, okay, let's find out why.
That's one of them.
They might be hesitant with movement activities. They might also be a little gravitationally insecure or slow to move and coordinate their body slower than their peers.
They might struggle with fine motor tasks, such as tying their shoes.
And they might fatigue easily, or they might seem to fatigue easily. They might have low endurance. They might have low muscle tone as well.
So those are just, I mean, that's a pretty short list. Well,
Yeah.
it's long but short. I don't know.
I know what you mean.
Yes. Now, two subtypes within sensory-based motor disorder are dyspraxia and postural disorder.
This is where it gets kind of confusing. Like if you're watching us on YouTube and you can see us, think of it as like a tree, right? So you've got two different subtypes here, but you also have this one
Yeah, it's
here.
like the family tree where it like comes down and goes in different
Yes.
directions. We will link this
The
visual in the
visual.
show notes so you can click the show notes and see it for yourself to understand.
So sensory-based motor disorder is on one of the trees, and then under that one is dyspraxia and postural control as two separate little trees.
We'll talk about dyspraxia first.
So bad at
It's the
explaining that.
branches. It's not different trees. It's the
Branches, yes, there we
branches or the
go.
roots.
Okay,
Yes.
okay.
Dyspraxia has also been called developmental coordination disorder, but this is going to be when a child has trouble processing sensory information and it results in problems planning and carrying out new motor actions.
Okay, so they might have difficulty in forming a goal or an idea, planning a sequence of actions, and performing new motor tasks. And so I do want to say we do have a podcast episode on motor planning, and we will link that in the show notes as well, because that's a good episode to follow up this one with,
So,
or vice versa.
yes. Just listen to all of them. But these individuals with dyspraxia are going to be clumsy, awkward, accident prone. They might break toys unintentionally, very accidentally. They're going to have poor ball skills and challenges with sports, and then trouble with fine motor activities as well.
And these might be the kiddos who just prefer those sedentary activities. And maybe they're really good at playing it off that they don't really want to go play soccer or they don't want to do PE because it's not interesting to them. Whereas maybe it's because they struggle with motor planning and they struggle with verbalization and fantasy play, like pretend play, like they just don't know how to come up with those ideas, execute them, come up with the plans. Like there's just no fluidity there.
Okay, so then postural disorder is the impaired perception of position of the body, poorly developed movement patterns that depend on core stability. So it appears that they have a weak core and poor endurance.
I actually saw a picture of these two like toddlers in snowsuits on Instagram. I think it was today actually. And I was like, this one has good control. This one has good, core strength, and this one does not have good core strength. And they were like twins or something. And one was in their big snowsuit and they were sitting up nice and straight, and the other one was like super slumped over and they couldn't even sit up straight. And I was like, that's a great visual to
Yeah,
see that.
it is. Yeah, so you have to have postural stability in order to keep your body upright against gravity and maintain your balance.
Mm-hmm. Now, this postural stability can be broken down into static and dynamic functions. So static posture, meaning still when you're holding a position against gravity without moving, and then dynamic, ever changing, is how you keep your balance while you're moving. So we think about that one in OT, a child on a swing, right? Or for static, we're thinking of balancing on one foot. I mean, that's pretty simple, but yeah.
Yes. So postural control, postural stability, all parts of just keeping your body upright, moving against gravity, maintaining your balance for coordinated movement activities.
I also found it interesting that your postural control contributes to your body schema, or the internal map of where you and your body parts are in relation to gravity. So recognizing where you are in space, kind of similar to your proprioceptive system, your somatosensory processing, it tells you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sitting up straight? Are you slouching? Are you falling over to the side?
Yep. And then we also have reflexive postural reactions, which help your body recover if you're bumped into or if you're knocked off balance. So this would be if you think about if you trip and you regain your balance so that you don't fall over. Mm-hmm. That's a reflexive postural reaction.
I'm thinking of the kiddo in line at the bus stop and someone bumps into them and they fall over.
Mm-hmm. Just completely fall over.
Yep. And not on purpose either. Yep. Not like, oh, I'm being silly. And
this is also going to be when you do go to fall. Are you reaching out automatically with your arms to catch your fall? Mm-hmm. Or do you not have that reflexive movement for safety?
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. If any of these things that we're talking about sound like your kiddos, or if you're a therapist, I'm sure you have clients with these challenges, what are activities that you can do to improve these areas?
First, we also want to mention that if you are a parent and any of these sound like your child and you're not currently receiving any therapy services, whether it's OT or PT, we do recommend talking with your pediatrician, because oftentimes these challenges interfere with your child's ability to get through their day successfully. Yes. And being able to interact with their peers and complete those social activities. And if that's the case, we recommend therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. Definitely. Every time.
Our podcast is great.
Of course it is. We share
lots of great information, but nothing replaces that in-person therapy.
Exactly. Okay. But in the meantime, what can you do?
Some activities. So we found a research article that looked at rock climbing and its connection to this postural control, this motor disorder. And they found that rock climbing can be a successful modality to help improve dyspraxia, postural disorders.
Well, if you think about it, rock climbing requires a lot of different skills.
A lot,
you
yeah.
have to have the postural stability to keep your body upright and maintain that control while your arms and your legs are moving and pulling and pushing yourself.
I just think about how hard it is when you have like all four of your limbs on the rock wall and you have to reach your arm up to the next rock, and how you have to contract all of your muscles on that one side of your body, your core.
And the opposite.
To be able to reach for that next rock.
Yep. Along with that, you have to be able to plan where you're going to reach next. Where are you going to reach your left or your right arm? Where are you going to put your foot next in order to move forwards and up and side to side? So you have a lot of motor planning going on as well.
We'll see kiddos who, like in therapy, who will almost like freeze or get stuck when they're doing a rock climbing activity, because a lot of clinics have rock climbing walls. Like
as short they should.
Rock climbing walls, absolutely, yes. And we'll see kids just freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they have the strength to do it, but they don't have that motor planning, that coordination ability.
Or maybe they don't have the strength and stability to hold themselves up against gravity and move their arms and legs away from their core to complete the rock climbing.
So keep practicing rock climbing.
Yes.
Get a rock climbing membership if you have a gym nearby.
The YMCA typically has a rock wall.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
There you go.
All right, the next one, BOSU ball activities. So if you don't know what a BOSU ball is, it's like a therapy ball or a yoga ball, but it's flat on one side and it has a rubber like base to it.
Or plastic sometimes.
Plastic, yeah.
It's usually like an exercise piece of equipment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so doing activities with the child standing, in quad on their hands and knees, sitting, jumping on it. It's a great activity.
I love having the BOSU in front of a large crash pad and having the child run from a couple feet away and jump on the BOSU and then crash on the crash pad. Now, to make this extra challenging to really work on the postural stability, they have to actually jump on the BOSU, say, 5 times before they can jump and crash on that crash pad.
I like turning the BOSU ball over, mm-hmm. so the ball part is on the ground and the flat part is where their hands are, and doing activities with their upper body, whether it's like a plank or putting like a maze activity, like a ball maze on the top, and they have to roll it and move it around. That's a fun one too. If you are looking for more resources for BOSU ball activities, therapy ball activities, video lessons, video activities, we do have our gross motor skills course available for you to take advantage of.
And that'll be linked in the show notes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Speaking of therapy ball activities, this is a great one to do for our kiddos with postural stability challenges as well. So grab a therapy ball and have your child just sit on the ball during seated activities. Have them bounce on the ball and really work on that postural control. Have them lay on their stomach over the ball and walk out on their hands while maintaining their legs on the therapy ball. All of these are really going to challenge that postural stability.
Yep. Another activity, just balancing on one foot, hopping on one foot, ski jumps if you have a line, and having the child hop over the line with 2 feet, jumping rope. Skip ball was one that we had to look up to try to figure out what the name was. I did it as a kid. I loved it. It's where you have like a hoop on one side and it goes on your ankle with a string attached and a ball on the other side. And you have to throw it around and skip over it.
Yeah, you have to really It takes a lot of coordination.
It does. That's a fun one though.
Yeah. So any of those, balancing, hopping, jumping mm-hmm. activities are great for both the motor planning component and that postural stability component.
Yep.
And then swinging. We love swinging. Now, for this specific one with the postural stability, we want to recommend swinging on open, unenclosed swings. So a simple playground swing mm-hmm. is a great example. They have to maintain that upright position without leaning onto any part of the swing. But also, if you're in the clinic or if you have one in your home, a platform swing is a great option.
Oh yes, love platform swings. Another one is just walking on uneven surfaces like pillows or crash pads or cushions. But this one we just want to be careful of, make sure that we're disclaiming and letting you know that these children who struggle with dyspraxia and postural disorder are definitely more prone to injury. They're often having lower muscle tone, so just be cautious that they are walking and being careful.
Yeah. Going along with walking on uneven surfaces, you can do balance beam activities. So using an actual balance beam or balance buckets is great, but if you don't have those items, you can just simply use painter's tape and put some painter's tape on the floor and have your child walk along it like a tightrope. Have them jump along it or walk sideways along it or do animal walks along the painter's tape or the balance beams or the balance buckets. Really change it up, and you can even ask your child to come up with different ways to move along the balance items, and then you're really going to be working on that motor planning.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was great.
I know.
Lots of good activities with painter's tape. I love painter's
much.
Tape. Another one is using the scooter board. So we love doing the scooter board in prone, so on our tummy, pulling yourself up to a certain target during an activity, supine, so on your back, working on your neck flexors, your core strength, and then just sitting as well, propelling yourself forwards and backwards, side to side.
I love using a rope with the scooter board.
If your feet aren't on the ground or if you're on your tummy.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. Yep.
Another one of our favorites is obstacle courses. So first you want to start with having your child follow an obstacle course that you have set up so that they kind of understand how it works. And then once they understand that, you can have them start planning their own obstacle courses. So this works on all areas of praxis. They come up with an idea, they plan it out, they set everything up, and then they complete it.
One more is a trampoline, but we want to, again, disclaimer.
We disclaim this whole episode.
Trampolines are, I have a love-hate relationship with trampolines. Mm. They're great for so many reasons, but I just don't want to get a kid on a trampoline that is too young or too weak, and they end up getting hurt. So err on the side of caution with a trampoline.
The mini trampolines are a good place to start, especially if your child has low muscle tone.
As long as your child is doing the bouncing on their own. Maybe get the one with a handle on it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's all of the ideas.
Okay. I do also want to share another little research article that I found connecting ADHD and these postural disorders, dyspraxia and postural disorder. And the article kind of explains that this postural stability is acquired over time as a child matures, usually by the age of 7. So keep that in mind. But what's not understood is the developmental profile of children with ADHD. And the study found that these children have an increased velocity of postural sway than normal. So these kiddos might struggle with, you know, like we mentioned already, sports, bumping into things, lacking bounce when they're walking and running. I thought that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Just very military type
very
walking.
Stiff.
Yeah.
Very stiff. Mm-hmm. It's also important to remember, and this is going to go on to a different, whole different, it could go on to a whole different subject, but ADHD is an executive functioning disorder. And when you look at executive functioning skills, that's including a lot of the same skills that are required for motor planning. So it's all connected.
It is all connected. Yes. We will link all of the resources that we used for this episode. We'll link the visuals that we use that are helpful for you to take advantage of and just learn more about it. If you are a parent listening and you're like, oh my gosh, this kind of sounds like my kiddo, definitely chat with your pediatrician. Definitely seek out that OT evaluation, PT evaluation. Just try to learn more about why and find that underlying cause. Instead of just saying, oh, my kid's clumsy, that's just how they are. Well, let's look a little deeper and see if we can figure out why.
Always find the why.
Find the why.
Let us know what your thoughts on this episode. Was it helpful? Was it confusing? Did you get some new ideas?
Was it confusing? Were we all over the place? Was it too technical? Now that I know that's the word that I was thinking of.
Let us know. Yeah.
Okay. If you are listening on iTunes, leave us a review. That would be fantastic. If it was helpful.
If you're watching us on YouTube, like this video and share it with your friends.
If you didn't know that we are streaming our podcasts on YouTube, head to Harkla on YouTube, search Harkla, H-A-R-K-L-A, and you can watch our podcast live and you can see us regulating our sensory systems while we're podcasting.
Rocking our chairs side to side constantly.
Gosh, I love it.
Well, we're out of here and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla.
If you want more information on anything mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get the show notes.
If you have any follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is @harkla_family or @allthingssensorypodcast. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us there.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla. Whether it's for one of our digital courses or one of our sensory swings, the discount code SENSORY will get you 10% off. That's SENSORY.
Head to harkla.co/sensory to use that discount code right now.
We're so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world. While we make every effort to share correct information, we're still learning.
We will double check all of our facts, but realize that medicine is a constantly changing science and art.
One doctor or therapist may have a different way of doing things from another.
We are simply presenting our views and opinions on how to address common sensory challenges, health-related difficulties, and what we have found to be beneficial that will be as evidence-based as possible.
By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or your child.
Consult your child's pediatrician or therapist for any medical issues that he or she may be having.
This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
Thanks so much for listening.